You're listening to the Fast Break Podcast with Carly Thibault-Dudonis and JJ Duke. An all-access pass to the Fairfield University women's basketball program only on the Stag Sports Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly Podcast. The regular season has come and gone, and now we are in tournament time. And your regular season MAC champions, Fairfield women's basketball, just wrapped up the second 20-0 season in MAC history. The only other time it was Quinnipiac in the 2014-15 season. Fairfield got to cut down the nets this past Saturday, securing that mark after victories this week over St. Peter's and Ryder, as now the Stags look to place down south a little bit warmer. It's going to be the historic Jim Whalen Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. That's where the MAC tournament will be, as Fairfield will get things going on Wednesday. They'll be the number one seed, and they'll face the winner of Iona and Ryder, who will play it bright and early on Tuesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Not my most favorite time. Actually, I'm a morning guy, so it's okay. But a 1 o'clock start for the Stags on Wednesday. We'll get into all of that as we go throughout. I'm joined by Coach Carly as well. And I guess we're going to call this one the Carly Squared Podcast because Carly Fisher is here. Carly Fisher, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Coach Carly, I know you really wanted to cut down that net on Saturday. Couldn't do it when the regular season trophy was handed, but that must have been a really sweet moment to cherish that in front of a very big crowd this past Saturday.
It was amazing, and this team deserves that recognition and the ability to celebrate in front of their home crowd. And you know how much more special to do it now with an undefeated, you know, MAC regular season, and something that never been done here before. So this team just keeps making history and keeps bringing smiles to everybody's faces in the community, and I'm glad they had that moment together.
It was a historic week on a number of different fronts. We were chatting here this time last Monday, in fact, as we record on a Monday morning before the MAC tournament this week. But last week, your phone was buzzing so much you had to basically throw it over into the corner because you had how many interviews, I think, on that Monday?
Count.
It was eight, something like that. Then SportsCenter comes calling, the Stags, and basically every mainstream media, all the local outlets, of course, appreciate your guys' support all season long. But did you ever have a chance to sleep between that and then prepping for two games?
We get to sleep in like April and May. It's fine.
It's fine. Okay. Cliche.
That's what May is for.
There you go. But I guess for you, like, is this what was the most favorite moment out of all that? Because I know you love to talk about your program, but was there one that stood out?
Outside of just the moments with our team, I think it's pretty surreal to be on SportsCenter.
Okay.
You know, you grow up watching that, and every night that's on in the house, and just to be able to represent our you know, program, our women, our athletic department, our university is on a platform like that, that anybody who's a sports fan is watching, was pretty awesome. Just to hear even from like alumni about how much that meant to see the Stags represented, was pretty cool. So like you said, I appreciate all our local media. They've done an amazing job of kind of building this from the ground up. And it was just really cool to kind of see it all come together and see our women be highlighted in such a thorough way, to be honest.
One last question, kind of a random one here. I know you're very well connected and you got a lot of people, you know, texting and reaching out. What was the most random person that, you know, noticed and gave you a shout?
The most random. Well, I don't know if this is super random, but so when my dad was coaching in the CBA, when I was younger, Tim Legler played for him.
Okay.
And so we've always stayed connected or whatever, but he wrote a note to our family basically being like, I should have been the one, you know, interviewing her. We played Barbies together, you know. So, you know, obviously having been on ESPN and what he does. But, you know, there's just been a ton of people reaching out. And as awesome as that is, and you love, you know, bringing everyone together, our team does a really good job of also refocusing, and we talk about keeping the blinders on as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for that, by the way. Legs and Barbies, that's something I didn't expect coming on this podcast.
I always joke, I think I have more pictures with him when I was a kid than like with my dad.
Absolutely.
Like, he was my little buddy, so
that's
my
awesome.
Big buddy.
Fair. And Carly, for you, as your coach just said, putting on the blinders and having all this media come in, practices, always cameras there or people stopping by after or before. For you as a player going through this, I mean, first off, welcome to college basketball. Your first season, you're getting all of this attention, you know, must be nice.
That's
but
awesome.
How is it for you guys to like enjoy these moments and then all of a sudden it's two games to go in the season where everyone knows that there's a target on the back and you can't afford to have any sort of a slip-ups?
I feel like we keep pouring into each other, like pouring into the team, putting all our energy into each other. And I think that's really helped us so far this season. Yeah, it's super exciting, like, getting all the attention, but at the end of the day, like, that doesn't really matter. We have our main goals, and just, like, scratching off all the little goals as the season goes on, like, it's been super rewarding, so.
Absolutely. Something that's always been discussed on this platform and to the broadcast on some extent as well on our end, that there's always just a lot of communication that goes on between you and the rest of your team, and just how to, you know, handle all these moments, because you can obviously have media training, but you don't always prepare for every scenario that comes your way. So are you and the rest of your freshman group kind of relying on, you know, any specific upperclassmen to just help guide you guys along and saying, like, hey, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to coming, you know, have fun with it, promote yourself and the team, but at the same time, we still have to, you know, keep ourselves focused on what we're trying to do here?
Yeah, I feel like the upperclassmen, like, every single one of them are just awesome role models for us as freshmen, and I feel like we can all look up to every single one of them in a different way. Like, they all bring something to the table that's different and super special, and I feel like that's what makes this group so unique, that, like, everyone brings something, and everyone has something a little bit different, so.
We won't tell anybody. Did you stay up late to watch your coach's interview on SportsCenter?
Yeah, I think we all did, probably.
No curfew was broken. We'll have special exemption.
Yeah, one time only.
All right, so now we move to last Thursday, or just a couple of days ago. So after all of this, you guys have two more basketball games to be played. And as we highlighted in the last show, St. Peter's on the road against a St. Peter's team that showed a lot of things against Fairfield and maybe exploited a couple of bits that maybe guys didn't want to have. And then all of a sudden you go down there, little bit of a cold start from deep, but then Amina gets hot, and then she goes off for a career best 24 points. That's I mean, we've seen her all throughout the season, Carly, but I mean, she was locked in on that day.
She's a zone buster. She's really difficult for people, particularly in a zone like that, because we do have shooters all around her, and while we didn't shoot it great from outside, you have to respect that, and she's so efficient from 12 to 15 feet and at the rim, but she was unbelievable in her ability to pick her spots, whether it was a catch and shoot high post jumper, whether it was, you know, they you know, come up and jam the high post, and she was able to get by and get to 2 feet and make really good decisions and honestly finish in traffic. There's times where, you know, you're like, ah, you know, they help down off the corner, and she still was able to finish at an unbelievable rate. We were actually kind of giving her a hard time. She missed like three shots in the second half. We're like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know how to do that.
It was her first three shots, and I was like, wait, what has happened here? Did she like have like some bad, like, was that halftime or something, or just had too much time off the court?
But she carried us, and so when our outside shots weren't falling, she just, you know, put on a clinic as far as being able to play 15 feet and in.
And I know within that 2-3 zone, Coach Blake did tell me after that game that in the first meeting, you were able to find the soft spots but weren't able to have the quick enough decisions that forced turnovers in the home game. But you guys were able to execute not only just finding Amina in that soft spot, but able to get that quick outlet passes, the in-out-out. Out in out, use your words on a Monday morning, but yeah, that just opened up the rest of the game, and I don't think St. Peter's, they had that one plan, and once Amina got hot, Mac Deliba also going off, because that kind of helps then her driving game, and she was able to go attack on everyone. They couldn't recover after that.
Absolutely, and so I think one of the things we talked about from the first to the second game is they do bring heavy pressure to the high post, so we want to be able to get it inside, but then having the poise to not let them speed you up and get you on your heels, and we call it kind of like the victim stance, out of your triple threat. And so Amina kind of set that tone, but then, you know, Mac did a really nice job, whether it was disrupting on the defensive end. We played some high-low with her and Amina. I mean, obviously, Carl's and Meg were a huge part of that with our Roadrunners as well. And those guys really kind of carried us with, I think we only ended up with, I think, what, four or five made threes or something like that, which is low for us. But if you're going to give us, you know, easy two, and I won't say easy twos, but if you're going to give us twos that are a high efficiency shot for us, then those guys did a really good job of finding those and doing it with poise.
Math is not a strong suit, but 71% from inside the three-point line. So, yeah, if you're going to give up the shots, Fairfield will knock them down. And Carly, for you as a fellow Roadrunner, I mean, those are the games that you guys must really enjoy, knowing that, okay, Amina's going off doing her thing. Mac comes onto the floor doing her thing. You and Beach come on and help the cause as well. Those must be the games where, like, hey, we get to have some of the spotlight as well. It's not just all threes.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Like, I feel like every game we all kind of, like, we do our job well, but it's nice to, you know, have some moments where we can kind of shine, where it's like, oh, like Amina's just going off, like this is awesome to watch, because we're all such hard workers, like every single one of us on the team. So it's just nice to see, like, you know, everyone kind of have their moments, have their games, because like I feel like every game, like, you never know who's gonna go off on this team. So it's very nice to see.
Well, the good news is the Carly game came just 48 hours later. Yep. As we're going to go right to that against Ryder. And I know, and I've said this on the broadcast a bit, this MAC women's basketball division is very talented, very deep in the forward / roadrunner position. You're going to have
nobody else has roadrunners, just us.
That's why I only just said forwards just for 10, sure, roadrunners for one. But for those that are listening, just trying to clarify that one out there. But it's
a
talented.
I just don't want to, you know, Coach Blake to get mad about that. So I just had to make sure everybody
it's
knows.
Fine. We were the one that ran the awesome feature,
yep,
about
yes,
it.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
This league is so talented in that position, though. There's going to be scores. There's going to be players that are going to do the business on the defensive end. And we've said that at times there's been a little bit of, you know, a learning curve for you in trying to understand what each different set of bigs will do in this league. But you went off on Saturday against Ryder to the tune of 16 points, 8 of 10 from the free throw line as well. How much did you enjoy that one, going up and knocking down shots?
It was awesome. Like, so rewarding.
But take us through that game, because you were able to execute at all different levels. You were able to face up. You were able to, you know, feel defenders on the back and then spin off of them. And I know there's been a lot of hard work in Carly. I know you've spoken about Carly's work. That's going to get really tough to say after a while. Coach, you've been saying
K-Fish, Fish Sticks, you know, whatever you want to.
Any others? Carl's as well?
Carl's, K-Fish, okay. Fishy, Fish Sticks, yeah. Sticks.
I know you've talked about the work that she's put in this season, but for you to really just go out and have your day, that must have been a joy for you.
Yeah, it was awesome, because I feel like I've been working really hard just trying to I see all my older teammates were in, even the freshmen also, but I see everyone on the team working so hard,
yep,
that I want to do the same. I want to match our energy and just be able to bring it whenever I can, whenever I get the opportunity to. So I feel like on Saturday, like, you know, I got the opportunity. I just said to myself, just play hard, do your thing, rebound. And I feel like that's what I did. And we were rewarded.
Absolutely.
Through that. So,
and I know at this time of the year, you want to be peaking. You want everybody to playing as to their level that we know that they can play. So I know for Carly to my left and for Coach, how important is it to now have, like, okay, every piece of the puzzle is really coming through, and it's just nice for everybody to not only enjoy the basketball, but executing to the way that you guys expect everyone to execute.
Yeah, I mean, I don't bat an eye any moment I put anybody in our, you know, on our roster on the court, because A, they all do their work off the court to be ready for those moments. And like Carly said, anybody can step up in those,
yep,
moments. I don't ever have to handhold to get them in the gym. And that's something that I think, you know, I want to give credit to Carly, because I think, you know, you're figuring out freshman year and everyone's got different battles and different things and that they're working through and figuring out the adjustment. But I think over the last like a month, Carly, she had a little bit of a setback with an injury. But obviously the last like 10 days has been able to get back and get her work in. And then she put in a full sweat the day before on Friday leading into Saturday's game. And, you know, while we kind of did a lighter day, she's like, no, I need to keep getting my legs back under me, my lungs back. And that paid off. And so it's just a window into what everyone on our team has done all year long. So I don't ever worry about playing 10, 11, 12, because we have a great bench and a great roster. So, and then if, you know, for whatever reason, if it's not Amina's night, then it's Carly's night. If it's not Meg's night, it's Max's night. And so I that's the beauty of having depth.
You made a really good point just a second ago about how, yes, Friday was kind of a lighter day for the group. And I'm going to ask everyone to pause or finish this episode, then go back to the last one, because we had a really nice discussion about what this group is doing off the court and the build up to the postseason, because you have a really now regimented schedule, not tiring everybody out, but making sure that you need to do that work. But that, again, it talked about from that episode, the trust between you, the rest of the coaches, the medical team, and the players to say, oh, if I need to go and still work my way back, as you said, Carly, from a little bit of a knock, not able to play a couple of games. So getting that, why did you feel like you needed to have that full day of practice to say, I have to keep myself in rhythm, can't take not even a day off, but just say, I need to keep building myself to peak at the right time?
Well, on Thursday when we played St. Peter's, I got in the game, felt a little bit gassed because, like, I hadn't really gone up and down yet since I had been out. So I just knew that, like, I trust in my strength coach, trust in my coaching staff that, like, I could go back out, get a full workout in, and be fine the next day because, you know, I got cleared. I was all good to go. So
love that.
Yeah, just got to put the work in when you can.
Definitely on Ryder for a second, because that could be one of the two opponents that Fairfield will be facing in the quarterfinals. The big miss, of course, was Michaela Fireball. She was rested. Coach Milligan was very open in saying that just needed to give her a day. Where did that change your guys' scouting preparations, not seeing her on the floor? And if she is on the floor, for maybe those that are at home that might not be as familiar with Ryder, what should you expect with Mikhail Fireball out there?
Yeah, she's a huge piece for them. Is someone that not only can shoot from the outside, but is a three-level scorer. Yep. You know, can get to the rim, can shoot off the bounce in the mid-range, and is just another, you know, double-digit scorer for them that adds that, just another weapon that you need to be successful in this league. So I don't think we necessarily changed going into that game because, you know, Schiffer for them, 55, is another really good shooter.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're just subbing in another capable three-point shooter. So, but we knew, you know, obviously their depth was going to suffer a little bit from that. And that's something that we always try to take advantage of anyway. And this time of year, one thing I will say about this team is that we've been able to ramp up the pressure even more because of that. And so, you know, knowing somebody's out, you keep dialing it up,
yeah.
You keep dialing it up. And it's something that I actually, when I was in the Big Ten, there was a year, it was the COVID year, the year that COVID hit that ended the tournament.
Yep.
Maryland was unbelievable that year in our league. And that's something that they did by February 20th, late February. They were just more and more and pressing more and denying more and trapping more and just in doing that. And so we have the capability and the ability to do that. And obviously that was able to show on Saturday. And so going into the tournament, obviously we expect her to be healthy, and when we'll get to watch her tomorrow against Iona. But for us, I don't think the game plan changes too much in what we do.
If anything, it kind of put Taylor Lang in a little bit of a tough spot. And from my perspective, a little disappointed because I know Langan's such an elite player. Mm-hmm. Her story is great, where mm-hmm. she missed a couple of seasons at Colgate, goes to Division II Millersville, a good program, mm-hmm. excels there and says, why not? Full circle opportunity, was recruited by Coach Milligan, goes back, and she's had a sensational season this year. And I hope for her case that she gets to have kind of a rebound mm-hmm. game, if anything else, on Tuesday. You spoke about having the opportunity to go down and, you know, watch those teams mm-hmm. in action. We'll speak about the schedule in just a second, but it is a nice benefit where all the teams are in the same place. You can't really go mm-hmm. in person and scout. So now you could say, okay, we're all here. Now there's no more secrets, no more hiding. You can see everybody.
Yes, exactly. And so we'll get down there, tonight after practice and get a chance to go watch that game, and then go practice and know exactly who we play, which is nice. And like you said, you can't live scout in the regular season, but you hope you pick up a couple calls, a couple things, being able to sit there and, you know, kind of courtside and pick up a few things as you go.
What is the schedule now looking like for this group? And again, for those that are listening, we're recording Monday almost noon. You guys play Wednesday at 1 p.m. So mm-hmm. what does the next 48 hours look like?
We'll do it. We kind of will do our normal routine today, okay. Trying to keep it as regular and normal as possible. So the girls are supposed to go to class today. Carl's, you went to class today?
I didn't have
no
class yet.
Okay, good.
No.
Look at you having a Monday off.
Just a relaxing Monday.
Yeah. So they went to class. We'll get back together for our normal practice time this afternoon. They'll do a little bit of recovery with our strength coach, Dave, before we eat, and then get on the bus and get down there, get a good night's sleep, get settled. We'll get them up and have breakfast in the morning. We'll go scout that game. And then knowing, obviously, who we play, we'll go practice. We'll go offsite so we can kind of have a normal practice slot. The way that they have to obviously split up the court time there is a little bit shorter and some awkward time. So we're going to go and find kind of an offsite court. And then we'll have team dinner Tuesday night, do some scout film, obviously now knowing who we play. And then Wednesday's go time.
Wednesday's go time. And I've spoken about it before, those early games that you guys have played, that's going to really now pay off now.
Yep.
I know this is a big breakfast team, so
yep.
No issues there on the pregame. Mm-hmm. But the routine kind of just stays the same, 11 or 1 p.m. on Wednesday. If you guys win, it's a Friday at 11 a.m. So
love it.
That's the perfect time.
We're here
time.
For it. And the nice thing, too, with that is that, you know, we – we go back and forth because sometimes we don't shoot around on some of the earlier games, just trying to get, you know, them as much sleep as possible. But with a little, we won't have shot in the boardwalk hall yet, and so we'll get a little bit of chance to get on the court that morning, Wednesday morning, and make sure we get some shots up there, and then kind of our normal routine goes from there.
That's really interesting because a lot of people that probably, well, have never been down there before, it's a different practice schedule. You talk mm-hmm. about how there are courts that are available for practice. You don't really get many chances to get on the mm-hmm. show court and
Correct.
Play. So being that first up is like, ooh, we get a, do you get a full warm-up time before the
we
games?
Do. We okay. do get a full warm-up time, which is great.
That's a huge advantage.
Yep.
By the way, we were speaking just before where Atlantic City kind of a little full circle moment. So, Carly, you were playing club ball or AAU
yeah,
ball
AAU.
At that time. This was right after Coach Carly gets hired mm-hmm. here at Fairfield.
Yep.
First recruiting trip. Mm-hmm. It is a full circle moment. So, Coach Carly, take the lead. How did this all happen?
So, I had talked to her AAU coach. I can still remember where I was. I was in my house in Minnesota, like packing our house, and had talked to her coach, Kelly, and she kind of gave us our schedule, told us to watch Carly, and because I didn't know really anything about the Northeast in that way. I hadn't recruited the Northeast heavily in a while. So we didn't get to go out in April because everything kind of happened quickly. And I think actually we might have had Iza on her official visit on that first April eval when you guys went out. I don't know where you guys would have been, Carly. But so Erica Brown and I went down to Atlantic City. The other two coaches were in some other places, and so got a chance to watch Carl's and was just super impressed with her mobility, her ability to pass for her size. Obviously is incredibly mobile. At the time, we did not know she was a roadrunner because we hadn't had the roadrunner tag yet, but a very mobile post player that had a lot of guard skills and just, you know, great teammate, high energy, and played with a really high motor. And so after that tournament, I think her and I had talked. I offered her a scholarship, and the rest is history. But I shouldn't say the rest is history. She made us work for a few more months before she committed. but that was I still remember the exact court where I saw her and how she played with her teammates.
That's kind of a full circle moment for you. So then what was at the bargaining table? You know, what'd you make Coach Carly work for to get you to sign the dotted line?
I think I really just wanted to be patient because
okay.
I committed really early in my junior year to Bucknell. So I just, you know, I wanted to see all of my options, just wait a little bit longer. But then I was like, I was going to wait like probably a month after I committed. But I was like, no, I can't like pass up this opportunity because I just like, I feel like I had such a great bond with the whole staff, and I didn't really have that with anyone else, and that was one of the main factor for me in my recruiting process. So
chalk the win up for the recruiting for the coaching staff.
We went all in. There was games we had three of us, four of us. We were sitting there.
Number,
yeah,
like,
yeah, awesome. We went all out.
And
I'm glad we did.
Yeah, of course. She's one of us now. She is a road runner. The other side of the matchup that you guys could be facing, we talked about Ryder a little bit. Iona would be the other potential opponent. You guys played them twice this season, comfortable wins on both, 72-44 at home, 85-49 away, where the threes were raining mm-hmm. in those games. And similar to Ryder, Iona have had kind of a very stop-start finish to the season where they've both went on some streaks, they've both had some losing mm-hmm. streaks. Both are actually 4-4 heading into the conference tournament, mm-hmm. which is fascinating. But where Iona is an interesting one for me is the fact that they do have those couple of FDU players who came over with Coach Ange who have had success in postseason play. They know what it takes to get it done, even though it was in a different conference, still the same mentality. And those couple of players along with Oka Missouri, who's mm-hmm. been really great this season, and a handful of players for Iona who are on that winning team last season, mm-hmm. that's not an easy game either. I mean, those are two teams like Ryder, Iona, they're going to be difficult, mm-hmm. especially once we get to this time of the year.
I think that'll be a great game in that first round between the two of them. And I think it's anybody's game. And I think that one thing I will say about Iona is that, you know, I can speak from my experience, is it takes
yep.
some time as you take over a program. And you know, Coach Ange is obviously really good at that, having done what she did at FDU. But I think that you're seeing a team that's playing better and better as the season ends. I think you said they've won four of the last seven, as I was kind of starting some of their film last night. And I think it takes time to kind of figure out and gel some chemistry, gel habits, and and kind of get your system in place. So I think you're seeing them kind of get more comfortable as a whole unit in that. I think it'll be a great matchup, and you know, either opponent will be a really tough game for us that first round.
Yeah, again, that's going to be a 10:30 a.m. start tomorrow, as you can watch all of the first round, or opening round, and quarterfinal games and semifinal games on ESPN+. Plus, if Fairfield were to advance from the quarterfinals, they'll play on Friday at 11 a.m., and they would face the winner of Manhattan and Canisius in the 4-5 matchup. And if Fairfield reaches the finals, that'll be Saturday at 3:30 p.m. on ESPNU. So that's the rundown on the MAC tournament schedule. There's a championship central page up right now, fairfieldstags.com. Also go to macsports.com for more information about how to go down to AC. But before we let you guys go, we had some awards that were announced this morning. We'll get to the MAC ones in a second, because we had one that was announced prior to this. Carly, congratulations on being the finalist for the Kathy Delaney Smith Mid-Major Coach of the Year, presented by Her Hoop Stats. Of course, Coach Delaney Smith, a legend in her own right, the first 16 seed over a one seed with Harvard, beating Stanford. You're with a great group of people, all very deserved to be in that. I mean, for you, though, this just comes as a nice little cap off for what has been a sensational season. But for you being amongst that group, what does that mean for you?
To be honest, it's just, it's a little humbling, because I look at those names, and those are people that I admire who have built programs at the mid-major level in the way that we are trying to do here, and people I've studied, people I've watched how they've done things throughout the years. And so it's an honor. And I, you know, for me, this doesn't happen without our team. We talk about every award, and I know you'll get to the rest of the awards, but none of the awards happen without what our team does day in and day out. This is by no means, I kind of chuckle at Coach of the Year awards, because I'm like, it's the staff of the year type thing for me. It doesn't happen without my staff and how they fill in all the holes and gaps and make me better. But it's a great honor for our whole program as a whole.
Well, then in that case, I will honor the staffs that are honored. So Fairfield's staff, George Mason's staff, led by Vanessa Blair Lewis. Then you have Gonzaga with Lisa, is it Fortier?
Fortier.
Green Bay with Kevin Borseth, who I know they had a really hot start to the season. That was a good ball club up there. And UNLV's staff, Lindy LaRocque. So congratulations to all five staffs who are honored. And I believe that's going to be announced. The final award will be in a couple of weeks, so that'll be great to see. But now on to the MACs. You guys were able to talk amongst each other when you found out, but we can reveal here, obviously, if you're listening now, this was revealed on Monday, that Fairfield cleaned up in the postseason awards. Coach of the Year. I'll just say the staff of the year. We'll just keep it going. Are you going to, like, kind of tape over?
Yeah.
Okay. Staff of the Year, Player of the Year in Nellie Brown, Rookie of the Year, Meg Anderson, which I think we'll just rename the Rookie of the Week Award as the Meg Anderson Rookie of the Week Award. Her and Katie Lamoureux, all rookie team. Amina Salimovic, outstanding season for her, getting third team. And then Meg and Janelle getting first team. Carly, for you first, talking about your teammates, how much fun is it to see your teammates do as well as they did in being honored by the rest of the league?
It's so awesome. Like, I'm so proud of this entire team. Nellie, Amina, Katie, Meg, like, they're just such hard workers, and I look up to every single one of them. Like, me, Meg, and Katie, like, and Casey, but we're all in the same class, but, like, we have so much to learn from each other. So proud of them. I feel like there's not any more deserving people for those awards, and Coach, of course.
Yeah, so. I was about to say, I was going to pivot first on that, because I want to hear the selflessness of the team to team, but for your players, again, for all of us that work behind the scenes, this is something that we've known that's been coming for a while now, because the players that we've announced here, but also just the rest of the group, have been sensational. But for those few that got awarded these awards, I mean, job well done.
I mean, it's just been a total body of work. And, you know, you can kind of go one by one. But, you know, I'll start with Nellie and the work that she's put in, and her ability to impact both sides of the ball. You know, to be honest, we thought it could have been a toss-up and how people voted and coaches voted between Meg and Nellie. But I think the way that Nellie, people have to game plan for her on both sides, whether it's her picking up a ball handler and trying to figure out how they get the ball up the court, or, you know, everything that she stems because of her ability to get downhill and transition and off the bounce. And she gets Meg wide open shots. She gets Katie wide open shots. She gets Carly Fisher dump offs and things like that. And so I'm just really proud of her culmination of work. And I wasn't here, obviously, her freshman year, but where she is now is just, it's incredible to see her growth. And so I'm really proud of her. Meg, I don't know if I have any more words to say. I feel like I've done like 19 quotes for her.
Here,
and
I'll just add this one in. Blake will be happy that the position listed is Roadrunner on the Mac website.
Yes,
so they didn't cheat us out on that one. It's Roadrunner.
That's perfect. And to Carly's point, like all four of our freshmen have impacted this team in so many ways, and they've learned from each other and they've pushed each other. They've stayed together. And, you know, freshmen, we talk about it, I think, early on in the year, like freshman year is hard for everybody, and they've all had their moments and they've all carried each other through. But Meg is someone that, has played like a, sixth year senior since she got here, which is just a testament to her poise. But the one thing I will say about Meg is we joke about her, the awards should just be named after her. You know, each rookie of the week award that she got better each week.
Yeah.
She found ways to, she was able to allow the coaching staff to challenge her defensively and rebounding wise and continuing to grow and not just be the same player she was when she got here in June. And so not only is she deserving of the rookie of the year, but she's a force in this league and absolutely has earned that first team all conference. And it's really cool. And I would love to hear Carly talk a little bit more about Amina, because I think that's someone that's really impacted our young players and how she goes about her work day in and day out. I mean, she comes into film with Coach Blake with a notebook and is so meticulous about her improvement. And I think she's been an incredible role model. Not only is she an incredible player and person on this team, but she's a great role model for our younger players. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I feel like just the way that she carries herself as a person is super inspiring. She's just such an awesome role model for all, like every single person on this team. The way she works on, off the court, she's just awesome. Like she's really, really just like a great person, awesome person to look up to. Phenomenal work ethic. I haven't seen anyone work as hard as she does. So.
If anything, she sets the standard, standard of what you want out of her position, but just as a player.
Yeah.
And I know like many of your athletes as well get the job done on and off the court and in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So that's also a big positive as well. Something that I also forgot to mention, Meg and Nelly were unanimous in first team, and all the all rookie team honorees were also unanimous as well. I'm not sure if that's ever actually happened before. But yeah, so congratulations.
I didn't get to touch on Katie.
My apologies.
I don't want to leave Katie out, but I think we've known, I think, internally how important Katie is to this team because, again, similar to Nelly, she can defend somebody's best player. She's a bulldog on defense. She's, like, out there deflecting passes to post players and is always incredibly in the right spots as a freshman. Like, that's really hard to do. But I think our offensive kind of stuff speaks for herself, her ability to shoot and create for her teammates. But I think what the rest of kind of the world realizes when we didn't have her against St. Peter's is that it affected this team. You know, we sorely missed her and her ability to do a lot of things on both sides of the ball, her ability just to keep really good, attackers and drivers in front and create for others and keep the ball moving. So I think she is someone that we're not doing. And I say that about our whole team, but she has strongly impacted this team and has earned being on that all rookie team.
Most definitely. And congratulations, all honorees who got there. MacSports.com is where you can go to see the full list of that. Guys, thank you so much. Carly, thank you for taking a few minutes of your nice and relaxed Monday morning, apparently.
Well, one thing I want to say about Carl's, too, is that we talked obviously about her continuing to work, but I just the future is so bright for Carly.
Most definitely.
And we're just starting. She's just getting started. When we recruited her, she's someone that not only was she a great player, but she's just a high energy, hard worker. And I think, this is just the beginning for what we're going to see from Carly in a Stags uniform.
And we'll be a big week down at Atlantic City starting on Wednesday, which again, 1 p.m. against the winner of the 8-seed versus 9-seed matchup. That's Ryder versus Iona. And Coach Carly, as always, thank you for taking a few minutes out of your always busy schedule to chat with us. And we wish you, your staff, your team, and everybody involved all the very best. And hopefully we get to see you back here this time next week with another trophy to add into that cabinet.
Well, I'd love to do that. Let's go Stags.
There we go. And again, fairfieldstags.com, that's where your championship central is for not only the women's but the men's side. All the very best to Chris and his staff as they get going with their MAC tournament starting also on Wednesday night. So hope that the guys can do the same thing. And we get a couple of trophies heading back up here to Fairfield. At StagsWBBall on Twitter/X and at FairfieldWBB on Instagram. That's where you can follow the group behind the scenes, perhaps. A little glimpse into what life is like down in AC. Sunny and warm Atlantic City. Love that. We'll see you guys all very soon. Until then, go Stags.
The Fast Break Podcast is a presentation of Fairfield University Athletics. For future podcasts, videos, news, stats, and coverage of Fairfield Stags women's basketball, log on to fairfieldstags.com.